Good morning. I'm glad to see you out on this beautiful fall morning, and I can't think of a better way to spend the Lord's Day than to gather with the people we love the most and honor the God of heaven and his Son and what he has done for us. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to preach this morning. Russ is in the wrong place. I had to pick on somebody. They're usually picking on me. That's all right. We're glad you're here. And if you are visiting with us, we have been for the last several Sunday mornings engaged in a series of lessons based on the statement, why I am a member of the Church of Christ. And our authority for such a series of lessons is in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, where Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we have been discussing and talking about why we do what we do in churches of Christ. We want it known and understood that the church does not make the rules. We, as the church, follow the Bible. The Bible is our rule book, the B-I-B-L-E, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. And so the Bible is what we follow, and when we follow the Bible only, and only the Bible, we will only be the church that Christ died to establish, the church which we read about in the New Testament. And so we want to talk this morning about, and we want to let the Lord speak to us with regard to baptism. That is one of the fundamental differences between churches of Christ and man-made denominations, is the emphasis that is placed on baptism, and the emphasis that we place, and rightly so, on the command of baptism. You know, with few exceptions, nearly every religious body practices something that they call baptism. And the Bible is certainly not silent regarding baptism, and it is eternally important. Get that. It is eternally important that you and I understand the scriptural significance of baptism. We don't place any more emphasis on baptism than the Bible does, but we place every emphasis on baptism that the Bible does. And by addressing from three points this morning, I hope that we all have a better understanding regarding the scriptural nature and purpose of baptism. And I want to talk about the address this morning, who may be baptized, what baptism requires, and the purpose from Scripture for the necessity of baptism. And so we begin with who may be baptized. And that's one of the questions that I have, that I receive somewhat frequently, especially from people outside the church. And they'll say to me, "Well, my child is this age or this old now. When should I baptize him?" Well, somebody, in order to be baptized, we look at the scripture reading this morning from Matthew 28:19, and it says to go, therefore, and teach all nations, or as the New King James says, make disciples of all nations. We see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 that they who gladly received the word were baptized. We see in Acts chapter 8 and verse 35, when Philip was speaking to the Ethiopian eunuch, that Philip opened his mouth and began and preached unto him Jesus. So the conclusion we draw from just these few verses is, for somebody to be baptized, first of all, they need to be taught something. Now, I know a lot of denominations will take little squirmy babies and they'll hold them up somewhere and let somebody put a drop of water on their forehead or pour some water on their forehead, and they call that baptism. Well, there are several things wrong with that, but the first one is that little baby is not capable of being taught and understanding anything with regard to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. For one to be scripturally baptized, and when I say scripturally, I mean by biblical authority. That's where authority comes from. It's not what John says. It's not what the Church of Christ says. It's what the Bible says. We don't have any earthly headquarters. We don't have to write to somewhere and ask our council or our synod or our earthly headquarters, what do we believe about baptism? No, we don't have to do that because we just go to the Bible and find out what the Bible says, specifically the New Testament. And the New Testament says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So, therefore, one must have the mental acuity to be taught certain facts about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ before they are a fit candidate for baptism. That little baby that gets water poured on its head, it has a wet head, and that's it. And we know from the purpose of baptism, and I'll get into this later, that baptism is for the forgiveness of sins. That little baby doesn't have any sins. It doesn't need to be saved because that little baby is safe. It's never sinned. Secondly, in addition to those who are taught may be baptized, you have to believe what you've been taught. You have to put faith in the things you've been taught. You have to trust in the Word of God. As Jesus said in Mark's account of the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel unto every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. We see again from Acts 2:41, those who received the word. And I might add, the scripture says those who gladly receive the word. If you have to argue and harangue and corral somebody into the baptistry, well, that's against scripture. The scripture says those who gladly receive the word were baptized. We see in Acts chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, when Philip was in Samaria, and it says, when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized. When were they baptized? When they believed the things that were taught. So these folks have met both conditions thus far. They were taught. They were capable of hearing instruction and receiving it. They were capable of making the choice to believe it or not. So they were baptized, both men and women. And we turn to the next verse. And then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondering, beholding the miracles and the things which were done. So there are two examples of those folks in Samaria who first heard the word and secondly received it or believed it. And then, having believed it, they did the natural thing. They were obedient and they were baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. We see in Acts chapter 18, verse 8, Crispus, he was the chief ruler in the Jewish synagogue. That would be like me going to a man-made denomination and baptizing their pastor. But Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, he believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. It's the same thing over and over in the book of Acts. That's why we call it the book of conversions, because it tells us how to become Christians. People heard the word of God, they believed the word of God, and then they were baptized. Romans 10 and verse 10, we learn that with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto or towards with a view to salvation. Therefore, Baptism is for those who are old enough and mature enough and capable of understanding and believing. Next, before one can be scripturally baptized, they also must repent of their sins. Repent means to change the mind, to change the inner man, to change the heart. That's what those Jews were told on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached to them and convicted those Jews of murdering the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that they were pricked in their hearts and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." So they heard the gospel. They heard what Peter said, and they believed it. And so they wanted to know what to do next. And Peter says, "Well, you need to repent." Now, ordinarily, there might be some restitution required. If they had stolen something, they might need to return it. Or if they were in an adulterous marriage, they would need to get out of that adulterous marriage. They had to repent. But they had killed Jesus. They couldn't bring Jesus back to life because Jesus had already resurrected and gone back to heaven. So how could they undo what they had done to Jesus? They couldn't do any physical thing, but they had to change the inner man. They had to change their mind. They had to realize and be convicted that what they had done was wrong, and they would have to live, rather than living for themselves from now on, they would have to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way they could repent. But they had to change their mindset. And then they had to be baptized. In Acts chapter 3, just one chapter over, they were told, some other folks were told, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Therefore, baptism is for those who are willing and capable of repenting of their sins. Baptism is also for those who are willing to confess Christ and know what it means. To confess means to publicly declare. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, "He that confesseth me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." If we're not capable of confessing the Lord Jesus Christ with our lips, making a public declaration. Somebody may say, "Well, what about somebody that can't speak?" Well, they can make a declaration of Jesus Christ in some form or fashion, whether it be by sign language or writing it down. But it's not limited to just one time. We confess Jesus not only with our lips, but we have to confess Jesus with our lifestyle. And not just on Sunday morning. We don't just show up long enough so the preacher sees us and puts a gold star by our name and then we go back out into the world and act like everybody else. No, that's confessing Satan. We can't confess Jesus on Sunday with our actions and then confess Satan Monday through Saturday and expect to be in good standing with the Almighty. That's playing fast and loose with the Lord, and he will not tolerate it. We cannot rob God in that fashion. We have to confess Christ with our lips, as Philip did in Acts 8:37. He came to some water and he said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So then the repenting part is assumed there because we know that Philip preached Jesus unto the eunuch. You cannot preach Jesus without preaching repentance. And you can't preach Jesus without the person knowing about baptism. And that's why Philip commanded the chariot to stop, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So I want you to notice that the requirements for baptism is somebody who is capable of being taught, somebody who's capable of believing, somebody who's capable of repenting, and somebody who's capable of confessing the Lord Jesus. Sometimes people have asked me, John, is my child old enough to understand to be baptized? Age has nothing to do with it. I've seen some very mature 11, 12-year-old kids. I've seen some very immature adults. Here's a good rule of thumb. It's not a litmus test, but it's a good rule of thumb. If your child can understand the significance of the virgin birth, that's a pretty good sign that your child can understand enough to be baptized. There may be exceptions, but that's a good rule of thumb. You know, the virgin birth of Christ is a sensitive topic when we get down to the brass tacks of it. But if your child is capable of understanding that, then they are likely mature enough to be baptized for the remission of their sins. So we see in Scripture an order here which we must follow. To baptize babies who do not yet have the mental capacity to understand or believe, that's a reversal of the pattern. That's baptizing someone before they're taught, before they can believe. And that's against the scriptural pattern. There is no example in the Bible of infant baptism or baby dedication. It's not a faith issue. We cannot justify infant baptism by Scripture. And we know from Romans 14:23, whatever is not of faith is sin. Secondly, what does it mean to be baptized? The Greek word baptizo, to baptize, means to dip, to plunge, to immerse, to overwhelm, to submerge. Nowhere does this word mean to sprinkle. The Greek word for that is rantizo. If they meant sprinkle, they had a word for it. The word does not mean to pour water on somebody. That word is katakeo. If they meant pour water on somebody, they had a word for it. But the word the Holy Spirit specifically chose was baptizo, and it means to immerse, okay? So if you were sprinkled as a child or had water poured on you or had a little drop of water put on your forehead with a thumb or with a dropper or something, I'm here to tell you, friend, you have not been scripturally baptized. I don't care who told you you were, they're wrong, okay? I don't say that to be unkind. I say that to tell you the truth. Sprinkling or pouring water on the person simply does not meet the demand of Scripture, and for this, man will be judged out of the things which are written in the book, the Bible, Revelation 20 and verse 12. In scriptural baptism, the agent, which is water, receives the subject of the one being baptized. If you want to be baptized this morning, you'll come up front here and we'll change your clothes and we'll go back here in the baptistry and the water will receive you. If somebody has water poured on them or sprinkled, you are the one receiving the agent. And that's not what the Bible says. Baptism is a burial in water. Buried with him in baptism, the Bible says. That is where we reenact the likeness of the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus was buried in a tomb, okay? They didn't sprinkle dirt on him. They didn't pour dirt on him. They buried him. He was overwhelmed. He was surrounded. He was immersed in that tomb. And when we're baptized scripturally, we will be immersed, overwhelmed with water. So finally, what is the purpose of baptism? Now, this is the subject of debate between members of the Lord's church and denominations. And unfortunately, we're even having to debate some of our own brethren now on the purpose of baptism. But the Bible hasn't changed. This is the same gospel that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago on the birthday of the Church of Christ. This is the same gospel that has been preached since that time by faithful gospel preachers. The first thing we see that is done in baptism by the example of our Lord Jesus Christ is, in Matthew 3 and verse 15, is number one, we fulfill all righteousness. That's why Jesus himself was baptized. Brethren and friends, if Jesus Christ had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness, don't you think I have to too? Don't you think you have to? Secondly, when we're baptized, scripturally, we are obeying heaven's command. Acts 2:38, to be baptized for the remission of sins. Peter, an inspired apostle, commanded those people on that day. And that falls in line. He did exactly what Jesus told him to do. Jesus says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Peter went and taught those people, and they said, what do we do? And he told them to repent and be baptized. And we learn from Scripture that that very day in Jerusalem, 3,000 people obeyed the gospel and became members of the Church of Christ on that very morning. Thirdly, the reason that we have to be baptized is so that you and I can have a good conscience before God. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Don't you want to be able to stand before God in the judgment with a good conscience? Well, if you've never been scripturally baptized, you can't do it. You cannot do it, because Peter, by inspiration, tells us that in order to have a good conscience before God, we have to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Fourth purpose for baptism is to put on Christ. Without being baptized, we are walking around naked in our sin. But we have to put Christ on. We have to don him like a garment and let him overwhelm and cover our lives. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, the Bible says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Jesus Christ have put on Christ. You haven't put on Christ until you've been baptized into Christ. Another reason to be baptized, to be added to the church, the kingdom of God. You don't become a member of the church and then get baptized. You don't get baptized and then later become a member of the church. It happens at the same time. We know from Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee, Peter, the keys of the kingdom of God. So Christ used the word church and the word kingdom synonymously there. They are one and the same thing. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3 that if we wanted to become part of the kingdom of God, we had to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. In other words, we had to come out of the water. Well, what do you have to do to come out of water? You have to first go into the water. If you want to become a member of the church, you have to be baptized into the church. Why is that so important to be in the church, John? Because in the church is where Christ puts the saved. There's no such thing as a saved person who's not in Christ's church. The saved are added to the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. That's why it's impossible for you to join the church. You can't join it. You're added to it when, by faith, you are baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Christ is the head of the body, which is the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, that in all things Christ himself might have the preeminence. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he, Christ, is the Savior of the body. What's the body? The body is the church. And there's only one. Christ didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my churches. He certainly didn't say, upon this rock I'll build my denominations, and they all can just do their own thing. No, Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church. Singular. One. Now, there are many congregations of the Lord's church, and they all practice exactly what is said in the New Testament. And if you're a member of something that's called a church, and you're not doing things the way the New Testament says, then brother, sister, you need to get out of that body, and you need to get into the body of Christ, and do Bible things in Bible ways, and call Bible things by Bible names. To be baptized means that we are buried with Christ. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith, listen to this, of the operation of God. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. You need to highlight that verse in your Bibles or underscore that verse. Because people say, well, we're not saved by baptism because baptism is a work and we're not saved by works. Okay, baptism is a work. I'll give you that. But it's not a work of man. I don't do the saving when I baptize you. The preacher that baptized me, he didn't do the work. I didn't do the work. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, we are buried with him in what? In baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Baptism is a work of God. God is who saves us. What is another purpose of baptism? Acts 22:16, we're told that baptism is where we get our sins washed away. And I might add to that Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, because it is Christ's blood that cleanses us from our sins, but we come in contact with that blood in the rite of baptism. Look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and following. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Brother, if you can't see that we are baptized into Christ, I can't help you. From that very simple explanation, baptism is not something you do after you're saved. Baptism is not something you do after you've joined some denomination. Baptism is what you do to be obedient to God, to be added to the church, to have your sins washed away, and finally, to be saved. Jesus himself said, he that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. You take away belief, or if you take away baptism, you don't have salvation. Belief plus baptism equals salvation. The same, ladies, gentlemen, corn plus lima beans equals succotash. If you take away the corn or if you take away the lima beans, you don't have succotash. If you take away belief or if you take away baptism, you don't have salvation. I don't know how to make it any simpler. The Bible doesn't make it any simpler. It couldn't be any simpler than that. Many say that baptism is merely a symbol. It is a symbol. But it's more than that. It's a requirement. It's a command from Almighty God. Man says that baptism is a Christian duty, but I'm here to tell you that one is not a Christian until he's been baptized. The Bible knows nothing of an unbaptized Christian. Now you know who may be baptized. You know what it is to be baptized, and you know why you should be baptized. I don't know who I may be talking to this morning, but if you're not baptized, and if you haven't been baptized according to the Scriptures, what are you going to do about it? If you've listened to me this morning, you know enough to be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and become a member of the one true church. Again, I don't say that arrogantly. I don't say that to be mean. I say it to be biblical. Christ only created one church, and it's the church that follows the New Testament pattern. And if you can find a body of believers who follow the New Testament any closer, I want to be a member there. Take a seat on the front row right now, would you please, while we stand and sing.